situation wasn't so much awed shock as pure disbelief. Whatever that was, it was fucked up, Elijah growled beside him. He barely nodded, his eyes fixed to the retreating Sigma. Elijah's sweatshirt covered her like a dress, falling almost to her knees. But it was too thin, and it stuck to her wet body in places, the white material turning transparent. He tried to blink away the flashing images that tried to gain traction inside his head. But he failed, forced to face each one of them. He had watched her swim toward them, had watched her pull herself onto the dock. Seeing her sitting there, hunched over, her wet hair covering her, she reminded him of a painting. Dripping, long blonde hair, lashes hiding her downturned eyes, pillowy strawberry lips, scattered, deliberate-looking freckles stark against translucent skin, arms curled over her chest like she was wilting, and only the slight curve of her ass against the dock visible above the waterfall of hair to tell them that something was wrong. He and Elijah had stepped forward simultaneously, and even though the others joked that they shared a single brain cell, he had no idea what his best friend was thinking. He only knew that he had convinced himself he was drawn by the weirdness of it all. Not her, but the situation. The anomaly. It wasn't that she looked like a painting, but that whoever had painted her had put her in the wrong frame. She belonged somewhere else. Safe. The obtrusive word broke through his thoughts for the second time that morning. And he shook it off. "Not our responsibility," he said to Elijah, who grunted back. "When has that ever stopped me?" Gabriel twisted to look at his best friend, noting the narrowed eyes, the swollen alpha ring, and the flaring of his nostrils. Elijah despised bullying in any form, and this had torture written all over it. "It's not a good idea to get involved." Gabriel adjusted his tack, softening his tone. "You'll only make the target on her back even bigger, and draw attention to us." Elijah looked down, brushing his hand over his shirt, some of the violence edging out of his expression. "She's too young for this shit." He spoke so lowly that Gabriel wouldn't have caught the words without his alpha hearing. He only grunted out a sound of agreement. They were only 2 years older than her, not that she knew it, but she seemed especially innocent, even for her age. "I think I need to add a sensor to her door," Elijah added, striding off toward the fitness center. They were already late for their scheduled practice time, so Gabriel followed with an agitated snap to each step. "That sounds like getting involved." "Not if I hook it up to Oscar's phone." "That sounds downright danger. Actually, that's brilliant." "I know." "He'll be so annoyed. And you know what happens when he gets annoyed." "I know." "He'll be in such a bad mood. He'll scare off anyone who tries to mess with her." "Gabe, it was my idea." "Only one problem," Gabriel said, searching out the nearest cameras to make sure their conversation was still private. "He'll fucking kill you." Reed hates bullies. Isabel remembered what Theodore had told her as she ran back to Dorm O. Reed must have known on some level that she was lying to him, but she didn't realize her real mistake until she was pushing into her surprisingly undisturbed room. She swiped up her phone as a fresh wave of alarm swept through her. Since she had Spade's number, she clicked on his name to send him a message. "Isabel, please don't tell Theo about this morning." She chewed on her lip, her hands shaking as she fought against what she knew she should say next. Isabel. And thank you for helping me again. He didn't reply immediately, but she didn't expect him to. She slumped back against her pile of blankets on the floor, her head hitting the wall behind her, and closed her eyes. She felt like she could finally breathe again, but the feeling didn't last long as she realized the situation she was in. She opened her eyes and glanced toward the door. The lock wasn't busted this time. It must have been picked, or else they somehow got a hold of another key. As long as she stayed in Dorm O, she was never going to be safe. Which left her with two options. Go home and face her father, or do the impossible and get herself a private room in Dorm A. She hauled herself from the bed, checking the time as she grabbed her toiletries bag and a change of clothes. She was already late for dance practice, and if she needed to win almost 2 million popularity points before the end of the year, then she couldn't afford to slack off now. Spade's reply came just as she stepped into one of the shower rooms. Spade, that's two favors. She turned on the hot water and stripped off Reed's sweatshirt, stepping under the stream until the shuddering of her body melted away. And then she stepped partially out of the spray, drying off her hands and replying to his message. Isabel, two favors? Spade,
one for saving your ass by the lake, and two for keeping it a secret.
Spade,
and that's just me. You still have Reed to answer to.
She hit her phone against her forehead, getting droplets all over the screen that she had to wipe off. Isabel.
Hi.
Necktie. Spade.
Are you having a stroke?
She swore, her face flooding with color. Isabel.
Got water on my phone.
Spade.
You better not be back in the fucking lake.
Isabel.
The shower.
Spade.
Alone?
She reared back a little, giving her screen a funny look, even though he couldn't see her. Isabel.
...
Spade.
What?
Isabel.
Why would you ask that?
Spade.
To gather information.
Isabel.
Why?
Spade.
...
Isabel.
What?
Spade.
I'll be calling in those favors soon. Stay out of the lake.
She quickly finished off her shower and hurried through the rest of her day with her head tucked down. Eve tried to draw her out a few times, but it wasn't until 3 days later that she finally broke through. Forcefully.
That's enough, Iz.
The hazel-haired beauty slammed her lunch tray down opposite Isabel's, her blue eyes full of fire as she snatched Isabel's phone from beneath her nose.
You've been avoiding me, and there are rumors going around the dorm that the Omegas and Betas teamed up to teach you a lesson. You better tell me what happened before I have to watch it on the show.
Isabel sighed, dropping her head into her hand as she picked up her fork to stab a piece of pasta.
I can't tell you.
Bullshit,
Eve replied happily.
You don't think I can keep a secret? Did they threaten you?
Isabel gave her a small smile, and the other girl sat forward, her brows pinching in.
Tell me, Eve demanded. What the hell did those bitches do to you?
Before Isabel could even think of responding, several of the Omega second years were approaching, hoping to crowd around Eve the way they usually did. But this time, Eve waved them off, shaking her head.
Everything okay?
One of them asked, shooting a look at Isabel like she was somehow forcing Eve to sit there without them.
Yeah, I'll catch up with you guys back in the dorm.
Eve turned back to Isabel, waiting until the other girls had wandered away before her hand shot across the table, grasping Isabel's fingers.
You have exactly 30 seconds to start talking before I start threatening you with things I haven't been able to come up with yet. So, in reality, you have a minute.
Fine.
Isabel laughed slightly, shaking her head, and then she quickly skimmed over what had happened. She wanted to leave out the part where Reed and Spade had helped her, but if the Ironside show was going to dramatize anything about the incident, it would be that part.
Oh my God.
Eve fell back in her seat, her eyes wide, her hand slipping away.
Are you okay?
I will be, Isabel answered, lowering her voice as she scanned the hall, taking in the group of Omegas who had found a table close by and had all arranged themselves so they could stare over at her table.
As soon as I win all those popularity points and get the hell out of Dorm O.
Yes!
Eve slammed both palms down on the table, her blue eyes lit with determination.
Finally! There's the competitive edge I've been waiting for! Let's not waste any more time talking about what they did to you and start strategizing about how we're going to spin it.
Isabel bit down another laugh, cutting it off.
You're a little scary. You're like an 18-year-old version of my father's publicist. Mom used to whisper to me that she was a ball buster.
She cut herself off, tensing up.
And not that you're...
I could be a ball buster,
Eve shrugged.
Most people think I'm nice and boring, but I have a dark side.
Sure,
Isabel indulged her.
Somewhere.
Probably.
Eve toyed with her water glass.
Whatever. I have an idea.
You do?
Eve smirked. No, I'm pretending I do because I work better under pressure.
Oh, I have something. What if we pretend it was a dare?
How? Isabel scratched at her chin, her skin suddenly crawling as she realized her father was part of their audience. It wasn't like he would see her naked on television, since they would have to blur out her nudity, but he would know. And whatever way they spun the story to try and get popularity points, he would likely believe. He didn't think she was smart enough to come up with any strategies of her own.
Okay, how about this? You start some sort of dare competition and start posting about it on your socials.
She paused to think, tapping the handle of her fork against her cheek. She had a small beauty mark there, and the utensil kept hitting it like a target.
If Theo is still friends with you after he finds out two of his buddies saw you naked, then maybe you could ask him to help you out? If he's the one competing against you in this dare competition, it might just get you enough social media attention to generate the popularity points you need, as well as smoothing over the whole lake incident.
Isabel wrapped her arms around her stomach, glancing around the hall to peer into the booths along the sides of the room. The alphas were tucked away inside one of them, but she couldn't see any sign of them.
I could try and ask him.
You do that.
Eve grinned at her.
He owes you. You agreed to teach him how to swim, even though it got your room trashed.
But then he had to get a fake girlfriend because of me.
Say what now?
Eve leaned forward, darting her eyes around. There was too much noise at dinner time, and they weren't in one of the private booths, so it was highly unlikely the cameras would be able to pick up on their individual conversation. Still, Isabel also leaned forward, letting her hair fall over one shoulder to shield her face as she rested her chin on her hand.
You're taking all of this to the grave, she instructed the other girl.
Eve nodded eagerly, and Isabel only hoped that she wasn't making a terrible decision to trust the bubbly brunette. Reed, Spade, and Theo's new female companions are all for show. Wallace owed Sato a favor after she broke into his room and tried to hook up with him. He blackmailed her into pretending to be Theo's girlfriend to take some of the heat off of him after last Friday's episode. She brought her friends along for Spade and Reed.
What about Ashford?
Eve asked, tilting her head with wide eyes before a huge smile spilled over her face.
He's too much of a man whore, isn't he?
Isabel nodded, chuckling. That seems to be the consensus.
Wow, Eve expelled on a breath. That's... Wow. Okay. So, maybe you might have to do a little bit of convincing. But I have faith in you. And if Theo says no, maybe you could ask Killian? If he let you sit on his lap just to include you, he must like you. I mean, not like that, obviously. But he never lets anyone near him. I think he's just a really nice guy.
Uh-oh.
Eve chuckled, winding spaghetti around her fork. It's always the nice alphas you have to be suspicious of. Haven't you heard? Chapter 13. Wicked Games. Isabel, I need a favor. She stared down at the message she had sent 3 days ago. Since then, Theodore had tried to call her 3 times and sent a question mark in response, but she was still working up the courage to actually ask him, so she hadn't replied or called him back. Instead, she spent her evenings with Eve, developing a comprehensive plan to get all the popularity points she needed to escape Dorm O. She would have felt guilty for all the time Eve was spending on her if it wasn't so obvious that the other girl lived to plot and plan up schemes. Promising herself she would finally reply to Theodore after she finished her session, she hooked up her phone to the sound system in the training room and began running through her stretches. Eve had taken over her social media after Isabel finally gathered the courage to ask her father for the passwords, and all of her past posts had been wiped, replaced by a single picture. It was Isabel, half hidden behind one of the columns in the dance practice room, with the morning sunlight filtering over her legs as she bent into a stretch, the light missing her face to cast her half into darkness. The caption of the image said, "Welcome to the game." Eve had chosen the song "Wicked Game" from one of the dances in Isabel's old profile and had ordered Isabel to revamp the entire routine and have it ready by Sunday. 2 days left. Isabel rolled up her yoga mat, started the song on her phone, and began the routine she had come up with, watching herself in the mirror. She examined every extension, every arch and jerk of her body, until sweat was soaking into her loose shirt. She heard slow clapping when she finally finished, and she quickly rushed over to her phone, stopping the music as Theodore kicked the door closed behind him and stalked toward her. He was wearing his trademark easy smile, but his stormy eyes were guarded.
"You really don't notice anyone else when you're dancing, do you?"
He slumped down onto the bench next to her bag, his legs spread, his arms crossed. His body language was so easy, so casual, but the look in his eyes never changed.
"Why are you avoiding me, Illy?"
She frowned, crossing her arms and trying to make her eyes as guarded as his, though she had no idea if it worked or not. His lips quirked a little, so it probably didn't. "I was just trying it out," she said.
"Ah."
His fingers tapped against his arm.
"How did it go?"
She grabbed a towel, wiping her face. "Well, you're here."
"So successful, then?"
He quirked a brow.
"If I didn't know you better, I'd say you get a kick out of this. Not that I blame you. Sigmas aren't usually painted in the most alluring light. It's an entertaining change for the rest of the world, watching an alpha run around after you like a puppy."
"Are you sure you know me better?" He reached forward suddenly, grabbing a handful of her shirt, the material twisting into his fist. For a moment, neither of them moved. And then he tugged gently, drawing her forward. One step, and then two, until her legs were almost between his. And then he released her.
"Yeah, I'm sure. What's your favor?"
She reached for her phone, restarting the song and turning the volume up loud so their conversation could remain private. "It's about the game," she started in a hesitant way,
twisting her fingers together. He tipped his head back against the wall, his eyes melting from a hard block of dark gray to something softer, until she could make out the little tinges of blue seeping between the dark of his iris and the gold of his alpha ring.
What game?
It was like watching a little bit of morning sunshine peek through the blanket of a heavy summer storm.
The game.
She waved her hand around the hall.
The Ironside game. I need to start playing it.
That seemed to get his attention. His broad shoulders tightened and his mouth snapped shut before he forced his body to relax again.
Tell me exactly what you mean.
They offered me a private room in Dorm A next year,
she forced out, even though some part of her desperately wanted to keep the whole thing to herself.
And they've started scoring me with popularity points early. I need 2 million before the end of the year, or I have to stay in Dorm O.
His pink lips parted into the perfect bow shape, and the hand that tried to comb back the heavy sweep of his hair from his forehead shook slightly. He directed his eyes to her feet, giving up on his hair, his hand falling into his lap as his hair flopped right back into place, a few strands falling over one of his eyes.
Something happened, didn't it?
His narrowed eyes flicked back up, his fingers twitching before he flexed them out, rubbing them against the tops of his thighs.
There's no way you would consider this unless something bad happened. Or several bad things. What the fuck did they do to you?
Isabel somehow managed to keep the cool mask over her features.
What makes you so sure they did something?
He stilled.
Am I wrong?
Yes. No. She folded her arms tightly, tapping one foot in agitation. Nothing happened. You don't have to help me.
I want to help you.
He rolled his lips between his teeth as he considered her.
But?
She prompted.
I need to win,
he said plainly.
There's no other option.
You don't seem like the type.
The winning type?
He grinned at that. She didn't fall for it. The type who cares whether you win or lose.
That's because you've never seen me lose. I'm a very, very, very bad loser.
She still didn't quite believe him, but she accepted his answer with a shrug.
Well, I'm not trying to win. I'm just trying to get out of Dorm O. And this could benefit you, too, if you really want to win.
Hmm?
He asked softly.
How?
Well, you see, something is going to air about me next Friday.
They did do something,
he growled, his eyes flashing with the briefest shadow of darkness. If she hadn't been paying attention, she would have missed it.
I was sleepwalking, she said, keeping her tone calm, unwavering,
just like the voice she had heard in her head, the voice that sounded like her mother.
Naked, she added. In the lake. But anyway,
she quickly barreled on, fidgeting with her fingers again as that darkness flashed in his eyes and a low rumbling sound emanated from his chest.
My friend came up with an idea to help me. She said I should start an online dare competition with you, and we can pretend that the whole being naked in the lake thing was a dare. But for that to happen, we need to start publicly posting and acting out dares. And they can't be timid, either.
Your friend is smart.
His voice was rough, his eyes slitted, not even the slightest curve at the edges of his mouth to hint at his usual smile.
Not only does it cover up whatever happened to you, it also earns you the popularity points you need.
Especially if you're involved, she added quietly, staring down at his shoes. If you'll help.
Well then.
He clapped his hands together, leaning forward.
First dare.
He whipped out his phone and reached over to hers, turning off the song. He held up his device, like he was recording, his stormy eyes watching her over the top of his screen.
Isabel Carter, truth or dare?
What? She almost choked on her own tongue. But this was very Theodore, jumping into things head first.
Dare? She asked.
Call the last person you texted and tell them you had a filthy dream about them, he ordered.
Isabel made a face, snatching up her phone and white-knuckling it.
The last person I texted was you,
he chuckled.
Fine, the person before me.
She unlocked her phone and looked at the second person in her inbox.
Spade.
She winced but pressed the call button. Theodore jumped up, filming her screen as he hit the speaker button for her. He didn't hesitate over the name that flashed up on her call screen, but she saw the slight twitch of his eyebrow.
Carter?
Spade answered on the third ring, sounding a little out of breath. He was probably training in one of the rooms down the hall with Reed. So now she could be doubly embarrassed, knowing that Reed might overhear.
Carter?
He repeated when she didn't say anything. Theodore's smile was back, like he was enjoying watching her squirm. Or maybe like he thought she was about to back out. Maybe this was his way of subtly refusing to help her, by making it clear that she wasn't cut out for this type of game. Or for the game.
I had a dream about you last night,
she quickly rushed out, her words almost a whisper. There was silence on the other end for a moment before he said,
Okay.
Isabel bit back a groan.
A dirty one,
she specified and then quickly tried to hang up, but Theodore grabbed her finger, tugging her hand away from her phone.
You don't sound terrified,
Spade answered, utterly unbothered.
So nobody is threatening you to make this call by force. And yet there's no other explanation.
Hey!
She stepped away from Theodore and his phone, slightly insulted by how fast Spade had accurately assessed and then dismissed the situation. Theodore was biting back a laugh, his eyes dancing with light as if he had known exactly how this call would go.
You should take this seriously. I really, mean it.
Spade sighed, and she could almost picture him pinching the bridge of his slender nose.
You've interrupted my practice now. What room are you training in? It would be more efficient if we discussed this in person.
I'm not training,
she squeaked out, forgetting all about Theodore's recording as she rushed over to her bag and began stuffing all her things inside.
And this is a matter of the heart. Efficiency shouldn't come into it.
Of course you are,
Spade answered.
It's 7 o'clock on Friday morning. You're always training at this time.
Isabel paused, her bag sagging on her arm until it caught against her wrist.
I'm sick today. I'm in the medical center, actually. Super high on drugs. Don't even remember why I called you. Bye!
She hung up, turning to fix Theodore with a stare as he ended his video and slid his phone away.
Spade knows your routine? He asked.
He was still smiling, but it was off.
It's news to me, she grumbled. I need to leave before he finds me. Christ, that was fucking embarrassing.
It must have been,
he chuckled, stealing her bag from her and looping it over his shoulder.
You're swearing and you're sober. Come with me.
He grabbed her hand, tucking her down the hallway.
Carter!
Shit. Spade! She knew that voice. It was cold and smooth, deep and clear.
It reminded her of the chilling chime of thick metal striking against even thicker metal.
Theo!
He called again, a little sharper.
Can't hear you!
Theodore shot over his shoulder, pushing through the doors to the practice rooms and breaking into a jog. Isabel felt a laugh exploding out of her as he pulled her along, her shorter legs struggling to keep up with him. He didn't slow down, though. Just like how he had jumped straight into things earlier, he wasn't going to coddle her. He wasn't that type, either. He was going to push her, pull her, force her to keep going, force her to leave her doubts behind, as he made the world rush right by her ears.
"Where are we going?"
she gasped out, her lungs beginning to struggle as they raced past students.
"Music department."
He didn't slow down until they were at the double glass doors and he was tugging her through, stealing her away into one of the studio rooms that she had only ever seen on the Ironside show.
"What are we doing here?"
She leaned against the desk full of instruments, one hand cradling the stitch in her side.
"We're making this endeavor mutually beneficial."
He directed her to a chair, pushing her into it, and then he dropped both of their bags, setting up a laptop in front of her.
"What was that song again?"
"What song?"
She peered past his shoulder, looking into the recording room on the other side of the thick glass.
"The song you were dancing to, like someone had just broken your little heart into 1,000 pieces.
"Wicked Game." He did a search on his computer, printing out lyrics and sheet music before plopping a set of headphones over her head. He tapped his ear, pointing to the glass, and then disappeared through the connecting door with his printouts. Her heart started to race, her palms turning clammy. She didn't know why she was so nervous, but it only got worse when he positioned the microphone over the piano, sat down, and pulled it toward his mouth.
"You were practicing that for a reason, right?"
His voice filled her headphones, and she jumped several inches in the chair. The sound of a husky chuckle filled her ears.
Yes, she answered. "Is this a collaboration? I promised Eve she would be my first."
"Pretty sure Moses was your first. Better let her down gently."
"Very funny," she grumbled as he began to play around with a few chords on the piano, warming up as his eyes scanned the lyrics.
"Wow."
She leaned over the desk, the sweet sound seeming to surround her.
"You're really good at that."
"Not as good as Elijah."
His voice was so amplified. She could hear his every breath and the soft curse when he made a mistake.
"How?"
she asked. "You've only been here 2 years. Most settlement kids..." She trailed off, wondering if what she had been about to say was insensitive.
"Kaylin wanted to teach us all."
The lines along his brow smoothed out. He was getting the hang of it, refining the song until it sounded flawless and silky.
"But only Eli and I picked it up."
She bit down on her lip, fascinated at the unguarded way he was speaking, his nickname for Reed slipping out as he tried to concentrate.
"Okay."
He sat back, flexing his fingers and rearranging his papers.
"You're going to be late to your first class, but it'll be worth it."
He cut his eyes to the glass.
"You in, Illy?"
"Yeah."
Her voice cracked.
"Yes. I mean, I think."
"Click record,"
he said, only giving her about 10 seconds to find it on his laptop screen before he started playing. And she started falling. She fell into the softness of his voice. It was clear and surprisingly steady, unfaltering and easy, just like his smile. There was so much control in every nuance, in the slight grittiness he let slip through, in the high, angelic notes that rang so clearly, and in the vibration of his deeper tones. She immediately got goosebumps. She couldn't stop looking at his mouth, listening to the breaths he stole between words. She had never thought that breath could sound sexy before, but now she was convinced the sound would haunt her. His hair was falling forward, hiding his eyes from her as he leaned into the microphone. She thought she saw his lips brushing it, and wondered what they would feel like against hers. Would they feel like his brother's? Firm and angry? Stiff with shock, but briefly insistent, tinged with a fury she could taste? Or would Theodore's kiss be sad and deep, like his perfect voice? He sang the way he described her dancing, like he was slowly ripping his heart out of his chest to lay it on the studio floor, like he was mourning it as he watched people walk all over it, like they didn't notice it was there. He was never far from the wide-eyed boy she'd found crying in the library, but in moments like those, her heart hurt for him all over again. She rubbed her hands over her arms, drinking him in as he shared his incredible talent with her. It wasn't until that moment that she knew, without a doubt, that he would win the game. He was the icon of their age. Like he said, it was the only option. When he finished, he got up without any fanfare, taking his papers with him as he pushed back into the studio, where he found her frozen, with tears in her eyes. "Oh, Illy." He opened his arms and she rushed into them without a second thought. She wasn't sure exactly where she was aiming, but he ducked at the last second, wrapping his strong arms around her back as he lifted her, leaving her to hang onto his neck. She pressed her face into his collarbone, using his shirt to catch her tears, because she was determined that the cameras wouldn't watch a single one of them falling. And then she remembered the cameras. Holy shit. Theodore thought she would laugh at him. He never expected the Illy stone to run at him, and he reacted before he could think better of it. It was the shock that did it. It was the shock that made him pick her up, and it was the shock that had his heart suddenly racing like he was about to dive off a cliff. She was warm for a girl so cold, and she was crying into his shirt, her nails digging into his shoulders. Her candied cherry scent gave her away, the tartness of her shattering control wrapped in something sticky and sweet. Pleasure. She liked listening to him, and that shouldn't have made his blood feel so hot. He gently set her down, forcing his hands away from the hypnotizing curve of her spine as his eyes dragged down to the oversized, too thin shirt she had been dancing in. Her scent was so strong, it masked the hint of sweat against her skin. "Are you okay?" he asked her, thankful his voice sounded calm. The last thing he needed was for things to get complicated with the little Sigma. He was already making sacrifices to keep her as a friend, and he was running out of reasons to justify that to the others. She was making other friends now. He wasn't the only one, and he got the feeling he was causing her more trouble than good. But he couldn't stop. Maybe at first it was a simple matter of familiarity. He had been closest with his Sigma mother growing up, and Isabel was just as sweet, but with an edge that drew him in, because she wasn't all sweet like his mother had been. She was different. She had teeth. She bowed, just like the Sigmas were taught to, but she refused to break. She had just used him, an alpha, a predator, to hide her tears from the cameras, to conceal her momentary weakness. She wasn't looking at him when she answered. "Yeah, sorry. It's been a hard day. I'm kind of exhausted." She straightened her shoulders, spinning around while her hand still tightly clutched the back of the chair she had been sitting on. "I should head to class. I'm late." She didn't make a move.
"I'll finish up with the song over lunch and send it to you," he told her.
"Thanks, Theo. This was really special. I'll make sure you aren't wasting it on my dance. She still didn't move. You couldn't. It's a gift.
I'll benefit from the exposure either way, so don't worry about me.
Her nails were digging into the chair, her eyes fixed to the desk.
What is it?
Another favor? He teased. Her teeth sank into her lush lower lip, biting back a small smile. Those perfect little teeth were connected straight to his gut, and he watched her nibble the plump flesh with a little too much focus. No. She finally looked up, gracing him with the full force of those large, gold-specked doe eyes. It's just that it's Friday. They're going to air the Valentine's Day party.
Don't ask. You don't want to know. Are you worried about Moses?
He wanted to hit himself.
Don't be, he continued quickly. It was part of the game the Alphas play every year.
He didn't want to play.
He never does anything he doesn't want to do.
He hates me.
He might.
She gave him an exasperated look. He... She flicked her eyes to the camera in the corner of the room. I'm late to class.
So I've been told.
He wanted to reach out and shake her, to cause all those hesitant secrets to clatter out of her mouth. But instead, he ruffled her hair.
Let me know when you want to film that dance. I'll be there. There's a practice room with a piano in it.
Okay. Her eyes went wider, like she hadn't expected that, and he tried not to feel a spark of satisfaction at having managed to surprise her. He had no business being pleased by stupid little things. He had 9 close friends back in Dorm A, and he didn't feel a warm spark whenever he managed to surprise one of them. It was bad. It was explosive. Or, at least, that was how the Ironside commenters described it. An explosive episode. The commentators speculated on how Isabel had managed to nab the infamously untouchable Killian as a friend, even going so far as to sit on his lap, which Ed Jones joked had just made her a target for all the gay men on campus as well as everyone else. Now, everyone had a reason to hate her, including all the soon-to-graduate students she was stealing screen time off. Coverage of the Valentine's Day party took up most of the episode, which they were calling a Valentine's Special. It dove into the politics of the current fifth-year students as they had their own drama at the party that Isabel hadn't even noticed. And, saving the best for last, it showed her kiss with Moses in painstaking, excruciating detail. It slowed down, zoomed in, and focused on the moment their lips locked. She saw the freckle on the outside of her lip in clearer detail than she had ever seen it in a mirror, and she noticed details about Moses that she hadn't in the moment, too. There was a small scar cutting into his upper lip, in the shape of a hook. Another scar marked his chin, thin and white. His eyelashes were thick and dark, hiding his emotions from the cameras as he hooded his eyes. His hair, a little wilder, a little curlier than his twins, brushed her cheek as he tilted his head. They had been whispering to each other before the kiss, so quietly that the cameras weren't able to pick up the audio, but that somehow made it even more dramatic, as the production team layered the moment with heart-thumping music, like it was some kind of life-changing moment. It was effective, because her heart was racing by the time she finished watching. As soon as the episode was over, her phone started blowing up. She knew she shouldn't look at it, but she opened her emails anyway, clicking on the bold notification from her father.
It's working. keep playing the alpha angle.
Her stomach turned as she quickly tossed the phone away. She wanted to curl up and go to sleep, but she was in Eve's room, sitting on the other girl's bed, and Eve was chattering a mile a minute about everything they had just watched.
"This is a good thing, Iz."
She finally seemed to notice the pallor that had fallen over Isabel's face.
"I know it's scary to think about what they might do to you next, but all this attention is the only way to get you out of here."
"I know." Isabel clutched at her turning stomach. "I think I need to go lay down, though."
"Not in your room," Eve said sternly, patting the other side of her bed. "You're in here until we can be sure that no mobs will drag you out of your bed again."
Isabel groaned, flopping onto her back.
"I can't do that to you."
Eve visibly bristled and then put on her best impression of Bellamy's posh accent.
"Did you just argue with your better, Sigma?"
Isabel snorted, throwing a pillow at her.
"Shut up. You're the worst."
"I have snacks."
Eve tossed the pillow back, rolling over to her stomach and reaching beneath her bed.
"You keep snacks under your bed?" Isabel asked.
"Yeah?" Eve dragged a tote onto the bed, upending it to reveal several containers.
"Where else would I put them?"
"You don't share your room, and all the food here is free. Why are you hiding an entire stash of it?" Isabel knelt over the pile, watching in amusement as Eve opened up all the containers, arranging them in the middle of the bed before she set her laptop up again, this time switching to a movie that had nothing to do with Ironside. Thankfully, it wasn't one of her father's movies.
"I don't own anything in here except the clothes, and most of those were donated to me."
Eve rummaged through her snacks, picking out some candy and a few caramel chocolates.
"That laptop?"
She nudged it with her foot.
"They assigned it to me on my first day here. It's second nature to hide and hoard in the settlements. I'm not the only person who does it. But you know who doesn't do it? The Alphas. I guarantee. It doesn't matter which settlement they came from. They were the top of the food chain there. And they're the top of the food chain here. Whenever they win the game, they're the top of the damn food chain out there in the human world, too."
She waved her hand toward the window before stuffing one of the chocolates into her mouth.
"Eve."
Isabel reached for the other girl's free hand, squeezing it gently.
"Even though you have so little, you always share it with me. You're a really good person."
"I know."
Eve flipped her short hair back, giving Isabel a confident smile.
"You're pretty lucky to have a friend like me."
Isabel rolled her eyes.
"And you ruined it."
The pillow fight started all over again, and Isabel ended up shoved off the bed, laughing up at the ceiling.
Is?
Eve's head popped over the edge, her eyes wide, her hair tousled.
"Why is Sato texting you?"
Isabel scrambled up, accepting the phone Eve handed to her and quickly opening the message.
"Sato, I'm collecting."
"I owe him a favor,"
Isabel squeaked.
"You what?"
Eve yelped, almost falling off the bed.
"Are you insane? You do not want to owe that boy a favor. Isabel, what's wrong with you?"
Isabel shoved her phone into her pocket without replying, rolling over to mush her face against the soft rug.
"Just leave me alone to die,"
she whined.
Chapter 14. Do It Gently.
Theodore.
"What do you want me to wear?"
Theodore.
"Come over and choose."
She stood outside Dorm A on Sunday morning, staring at the perpetually closed door, wondering if she should knock or not. If Theodore had been the only one to text her that morning, as she was trying to force breakfast into her unsettled stomach, she might have texted back that he could wear whatever he wanted. But he wasn't.
Sato.
Come.
She hadn't replied to Sato's first message 2 days ago, but she had been walking around like there was a ticking time bomb in her pocket ever since receiving it, and when she read the second message that morning, she knew her time was up. So she had come. As she stood there deliberating, the door opened. She skittered backwards, staring up into Killian's soft, pale eyes.
Isabel!
He sounded surprised, but then his pillowy lips shifted into a beautiful smile.
I heard about your collab today. Mind if I watch?
Struck too dumb to speak, she quickly shook her head.
Good.
His smile slipped a little, his hand warm as it traced down her arm.
Are you all done up?
She jumped a little, because she somehow hadn't noticed him moving closer. It was like he hypnotized her.
Yes.
She glanced down at her tights and oversized t-shirt.
Should I have picked something else? How do I say this?
His smile slipped even further, his head tilting as those beautiful, light-colored eyes ran over her.
You don't look surprising. This is your first upload, your first real bid for attention. You want to surprise people.
It's all I've got, she shrugged.
Luckily, you're a pretty good blank canvas.
His touch slid down to her hand, his fingers winding slowly through hers, and then he dragged her through the door without any warning. She stumbled after him, her eyes wide as they connected with Moses, who was sitting in his usual armchair, a game controller in his hand. Reed and Spade were also there, both of them in swim trunks, standing at the glass wall with wet hair, like they had been talking while looking at the lake. The trunks were short enough to convince her they were actually workout shorts, showing off beautifully toned thighs and even more streamlined abdominal muscles. Their skin was smooth, rippling tightly over the contours and ridges of their wide chests and narrow waists, lit by a subtle sheen that could have been lake water or sunscreen, but on their skin, it looked like tanning oil for a billboard advertisement.
Hi,
she squeaked, eyes wide. They just stared back, silent. Thankfully, she found herself stolen off into Killian's room. He deposited her on the edge of the bed and stood over her, his arms folded.
What's the song?
Isabel dug into the tote she had brought, pulling out her phone and headphones. She passed him the earbuds, starting Theodore's version of the song, a little embarrassed that her phone was already open to it since she had been listening to it constantly. Killian put in one of the earbuds, leaning over her to stick the other one in her ear. He listened to Theodore's rendition with a slightly arched brow, but his expression didn't change until he caught her mouthing the words, and then he seemed to go still. She also went still, peeking up at him. He was looking at her mouth, both elegant brows drawn low over his eyes. He must have really liked the song, because his pupils had expanded, and she suddenly thought that his eyes were somewhat serpentine, with the yellowish hue that seeped into the green of his irises. His eyes weren't wide and circular like a snake's, but they were hooded, tagged at the corners in a beautiful shape that made him look all-knowing and possibly even sly.
You have snake eyes,
she said without thinking, reaching up to touch the outside of his cheek. He caught her hand, dragging it down over his face and neck until it rested over his chest, where his heartbeat pounded.
He's amazing, isn't he?
She asked, smiling a little at Killian's reaction to his friend's voice.
I always thought so.
His voice was a little deeper. He dropped her hand, pulled out the earbud and walked into his closet.
I know what kind of look you need. What panties are you wearing?
She stuffed her things back into the tote. Normal, boring ones?
Color?
He walked out of the closet with a shirt on a hanger.
Bra?
Black? And a black sports bra?
Good enough.
He handed her the hanger.
Take that shit off and put this on over your underwear.
Right here? She joked, hoping to ease the strangely intense look in his eyes. His expression softened instantly, his lips quirking up.
Not this time. Save it for the studio. Now get your cute butt into the bathroom so I can do your hair. Do you have any makeup in your bag?
No. She hopped off his bed and walked into his ensuite. I did it before I left.
Okay.
He suddenly spun her around, palming her hips and hoisting her onto the bench, her back pressed against the mirror.
I can work with this, too. What did you do?
He squinted at her face.
It's hard to tell with you.
She sucked in a deep breath, her hands shaking so much she decided to sit on them, focusing on the cold marble beneath her instead of the steadily increasing blush that fanned over her skin. Killian was very hands-on, and she didn't exactly hate it, but that only made it even more nerve-wracking. Lip stain, mascara, some foundation? She avoided looking at him until he pinched her chin, turning her eyes back to his. He reached to the left, turning on his tap and wetting some tissue before he was back in her face, so close she could feel his breath and smell the calming woodsy scent that clung to him.
Close your eyes,
he muttered, his touch so soft, so gentle as he ran his thumb over one of her closed lids and then followed it with the wet tissue. He carefully smudged her mascara and then had her open her eyes as he fixed it exactly the way he wanted it. She didn't think anyone had spent so much time touching her face, and her chest grew tighter the longer he worked. His fingers were so smooth, so sure. Everything he did was full of ease and confidence. It made her feel like whatever he was doing, it would work. Because it was Killian. He threw out the tissue and returned, pushing her legs apart with a distracted grunt as he focused on her mouth. She stopped breathing entirely, and it was like he didn't even notice. He set his thumb against her lower lip, pressing in against the soft swell as he dragged his finger out to the edge of her mouth. She wasn't wearing much, only a thin coat of lip stain that was more or less the same tint as her natural lips. He loomed even closer as he reached the edge of her mouth, one hand holding her chin up, and suddenly his heat was everywhere, and his breath was against her lips. Her vision blurred a little, the bergamot scent of his silver hair filling her chest as her breaths turned choppy. And then he was stepping back, the gold of his alpha ring all she could see, like it had grown larger.
Yes, he murmured huskily. That's perfect.
He stepped back into her space, loosening her ponytail and finger-combing her hair.
This is what you should look like while you're singing about heartbreak. You should look like you just rolled out of their bed, whoever they are. You should look like you either cried yourself to sleep, or...
He stopped, his fingers trailing out of her strands.
Or you've been kissing all night.
He snorted, walking backward with a weird laugh.
Sometimes I forget how young we are.
She hopped off the bench. You forget how young you are?
That's what I said.
His tone wasn't sarcastic. It was more surprised. Either at his own words or that he had spoken them out loud. He folded the shirt into her tote, which he gently slipped over her shoulder.
Now, go tell Theo to wear something white. And don't leave without me.
She quietly shut the door as she exited the room and looked both ways down the hallway before sneaking toward Sato's room. She knocked as quietly as she could manage, but there was no answer. With a small groan, she checked the hallway again and then tiptoed upstairs, deciding to see if he was on the rooftop. It seemed like something he would do, summon her and then perch somewhere he might have a good view of her approach. Thankfully, she didn't run into Ashford, Nico, or the two professors as she searched the rooftop, but there was also no sign of Sato.
"Not as innocent as you seem, hmm?"
The voice shocked her still, and then she turned toward the corner of the balcony where a large day bed with an arched overhang faced away from her. She crept around it.
"What do you mean?"
Sato was stretched out long, one leg bent, one arm folded behind his head. His shirt slipped up a few inches to show a brief peek of his hard stomach. His skin was a smooth topaz, a type of golden brown that was burnt maple in some lights and lighter honey in others. Right now it was darker, hidden away by the shade of the overhang.
"You're saturated," he said, his dark eyes landing on hers.
She swallowed, her heart stopping.
"What?" "In Killian's scent."
He pulled up, slinging his arm over his bent knee, his nostrils flaring.
"How does Killian count?"
She folded her arms tightly, her thighs pressing together. She hadn't realized before, but she was, well, damp. Not quite saturated. It was hard to tell, but something weird was definitely going on. It was wrong to let Killian affect her that way, even if he did look like an actual angel. Even if he was the most beautiful boy she had ever seen.
"How doesn't he count?"
Sato's lips quirked, his eyes flicking to her thighs like he had caught the shift in her posture, which was really not cool.
"You're in an alpha den right now, little Sigma. They might call it a dorm, but you can't put so many alphas in one place without it becoming a den. In a den, we're very sensitive about smells. Killian's sexuality doesn't even come into it. You don't saturate someone unless you're claiming them."
"Right." She rolled her eyes, folding her arms tighter. "He was just helping me with my makeup and hair for a dance I'm about to record."
"I heard,"
Sato drawled, his focus touching on her face as she waved a hand at her smudged makeup.
"There's a lot of dancing going on around here. Dancing around secrets, dancing around issues, and dancing at the end of your silky little strings."
"And dancing around the reason I'm here," she pointed out blandly. "What's your favor?"
"Oh, you're so unbothered, aren't you?"
He laughed, knee walking to the edge of the daybed. Even on his knees, he towered over her. His thumb brushed against the edge of her mouth, probably smudging her lip stain even more. Some of the bravado slipped out of her, and she knew he could feel the way she trembled as his chest pressed against hers.
"I need you to steal something for me."
"What is it? From who?" As she spoke, her lips brushed his thumb since he hadn't pulled it away entirely. He brushed the side of her mouth again, his chest swelling as he took a deep breath.
"I need you to steal Renee Wallace's phone and bring it to me."
He collapsed back to the daybed, resuming his earlier position, stretched out, lazy, unbothered.
"It's Kian's birthday in a few weeks. He'll host a party the weekend before and she'll be there. You can do it then."
"That's impossible," she spluttered, clutching the handle of her bag with white fingers.
"It's compulsory,"
he told her calmly.
You'll take it without her noticing, bring it to me, and then return it to her without her noticing.
How the hell am I supposed to do that? She hates me.
He shrugged, examining his fingernails. Suggest a threesome with Theo?
She hates me.
It's the only way she'll get any action from him, though.
Ugh. She shook her head, pinching her nose. We're just friends. I'll figure something out.
Good.
His eyes drifted